put up that title for the message this morning, taken from Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. That's not the title, but it's going to be coming. Awfully quiet. The strengthening of the church. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 is the verse that we're looking at. We're taking it apart verse by verse and sharing the meaning and significance of it. Acts 9, 31, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was okay. Now I hear it must be up now. The slide is up there. Okay, yeah. I'm trying to strengthen my. Yeah, okay. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. And then the next slide gives us our outline this morning of what are some of the things that strengthen the church. The church was strengthened. And so we have the outline here coming up. Number one, by having a special friendship with God. Number two, by having fellowship with one another. And number three, by having faithful servants who operate in their spiritual giftedness. Those are all things. Now, there are many other things that strengthen the church. This is not all inclusive. But these are the three things that we're going to look at this morning. One of the blessings of pastoring this church for the second time is I have fond memories of pastoring here the first time. And one of the memories that came to me this week was of Mrs. Fuller. Mrs. Fuller, the Fuller family were pillars in this church for many years. And two of the children went into missionary service. But I remember Mrs. Fuller as being a very quiet, gentle, sweet lady. And I bumped into an individual this week and was reminded of the role that she played in his life. Well, Mrs. Fuller was used in a great way to strengthen this local church. Amen. Those of you that know her or will have known her. But one of the ways in which she was used by God to strengthen the church was her passion to reach out to her neighbors with the love of God and the gospel. And she had a neighbor by the name of a young man by the name of Roger, who was a drug dealer in this city. And God gave Mrs. Fuller a burden for his salvation. And so she would drop in and take cooking and pies and whatever to him. And he really resented her. He really resented her. He was offended by her passion to see him as a man come to know Jesus as his personal Savior. She was very vocal, but if you knew her, you know, you wouldn't have called her an intimidating lady at all. But she had a sweet presence about her, the presence of Jesus. And it got to the point where she would say to him, "Roger, someday you will come to know Jesus as your personal Savior and will serve him the rest of your life." And that came true. Do you know who Roger Jingra is? That's Roger. And he was blessed, and the church was blessed by his conversion. He's planted a number of churches over the years, presently actively involved in ministering to many in the Cree Nation. God has raised him up, and he is being used to strengthen the church across Canada. And he and his wife, Ruth, have owned the Lighthouse Bookstore for quite a few years, right? Yes, it is. They are retiring from that. But I was talking to Roger. But what does it take, and who does it take, to strengthen the church? We're told here, and the church was strengthened. And this is an important element of church life. It's an important element in our personal lives. What is it that God will use to strengthen us? You know, to grow strong in the Lord. And the scriptures have a lot to say about strengthening. And I want to share some of those with you. But the first thing I want to mention is that the church is strengthened by friendship with God. One of the most amazing truths about the life of Abraham was that he was called the friend of God. One of the amazing truths in all of Scripture is that God, in all of his majesty, in all of his power, in all of his love, wants us to be friends with him. It's powerful. John chapter 15, we won't take the time to read it, but in John chapter 15, as Jesus is preparing his disciples for his going to the cross and all that's going to take place, one of the things he says to them is, he says, you know, I am not calling you servants anymore, I'm calling you friends. And he says in John 15:5, if you abide in me and I abide in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. This idea of abiding is, I mean, you know, this is a close link. This is a powerful sense of knowingness. It's a powerful sense of a relationship, a close-knit relationship. And Jesus teaches that really, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that he wants us to abide in him. That word means, you know, to be closely related to him, tied to him in a special way. The Apostle Paul made friendship, fellowship, and intimacy with Christ the primary goal of his life. And of course, you know, this verse of Acts 9:31 has its roots in the conversion of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, a man who had been breathing out murderous threats towards the church and confiscating property of Christians and taking them and putting the men and women in jail and all of that. And then he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Jesus met him. And he was greeted with the word, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so when we looked at this whole idea of peace, the fact that the church enjoyed throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, enjoyed a time of peace, it really was a time of being free from persecution for a time. And so in that time, they had an opportunity to grow powerfully and to minister to people all over the place and share the gospel. But the Apostle Paul, when he came to Christ, I mean, he made it his passion to please the Lord and to get to know him. I want to know, he said in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. And this is the intimacy of it. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. I want to know Jesus more than anything else in all of life. Is that your passion? I mean, if the church is to be strengthened, there has to be a growing number of people on a constant basis who are falling in love with Jesus and who are developing and growing in their friendship with Christ. That's powerful. That's a powerful truth. I looked up the definition of friend as somebody who is well known to you, somebody who is close-knit in their relationship to you. And that's what Jesus wants. When we sang that, or we had that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Isn't that a great hymn? I mean, it's powerful. And do you know that was written by Joseph Scriven? The words were written by Joseph Scriven, who actually lived in Port Hope, Ontario. And there is actually a monument there at Port Hope. My dad pastored in Port Hope, and I was just a young child at the time. But you can go and actually see a monument that was dedicated to Joseph Scriven and the writing of that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. And the idea of the song was that Jesus is my friend. He's my friend. That I can have a close-knit relationship with him. I had an interesting read. Oswald Chambers, in his book, My Utmost for His Highest, August the 4th, made this statement. Listen to it carefully. The most important aspect of Christianity is not the work we do. Let me repeat that. The most important aspect of Christianity is not the work we do, but the relationship that we maintain with God. And the surrounding influence and qualities produced by that relationship. He goes on to say, that is all God asks us to give our attention to. And it is the one thing that is continually under attack. The enemy of our souls will do everything he can to stifle our love and our fellowship and our relationship to the Lord. But Jesus wants to have a close, intimate relationship with us. I have called you friends, he says to his disciples. Philippians 4:13. Oh, we're talking about strengthening the church. How does that happen? Well, as we have a friendship and a relationship, a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it has a way of strengthening us and strengthening the people in God's church. You know, after all, the church is not a building primarily, is it? It is people. That's one of the goals that I have when I pull the pictures off of your Facebooks. I want you to know that you're a part of the church. You belong to the church. Right? It's people. Would you agree? Yeah. Good. I'm glad you do. But what does Paul say in Philippians chapter 4? Here's Paul, who's so passionate about getting to know Jesus. He's highly educated. He's had all kinds of laurels in his past and, you know, zealousness and so on. But in the midst of it all, he says, in the midst of it all, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. You know, and sometimes we forget that. We think when we're going through a difficult time and we're feeling weak and we're feeling frail, that the thing to do is to read the Bible more or to pray more, and those are all good and important because they help us get closer to Jesus or get back to Jesus. But more important than all of that is to cultivate and to fellowship with Jesus himself. That's why Apostle John said, and Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, in the book of Revelation, he said, you know, he says, there's a lot of things I admire about you. You know, your commitment to sound doctrine, identifying false teachers and all that thing. He says, but this one thing I have against you, you have lost your first love. You know, our relationship with God is so important to the strengthening of the church. And when people, you know, somebody has said, you've heard it said, you know, as the family goes, so the church goes. Right? Because the church is families. I mean, you are here representing a family in some way or another. Even as a single adult who maybe don't live with your family, but you represent the family. But in the midst of it all, it's so important for us to realize that your and my ability to cultivate a close-knit relationship with the Lord Jesus is crucial to the strengthening of the church. Crucial. 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 I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Psalm 46:1 is probably the most quoted verse from the Psalms that I, as a pastor, quote. And that is this: but my God is a refuge and a what? Strength. A present help in the time of trouble. And it's so true that in the midst of wanting to strengthen our own lives and our own faith and all that, we need to remember that it's rooted in our relationship with the God who is my strength. I had a really rough night last night. I didn't really sleep at all. And I was really, just had some things going on physically that really, really were troubling me. And I was to the point where I was thinking, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to get to church today. And I certainly don't think I'm going to be able to preach. And I just was crying out to the Lord. And the Lord said to me, you know, remember, I'm your strength. Remember that in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Remember that one of the things I want you to live with as a truth reality in your life is that my grace is sufficient for you. You know, we live by grace, right? By the grace that God gives to us. And that was such an encouragement to me. Such an encouragement. It's important if in our development of a friendship with the Lord Jesus that we spend time in the Word of God. It's His Word. It's important that we spend time in prayer and in fellowship with the Lord, in conversation with God throughout the day, because that's cultivating and that's promoting that relationship, that friendship with God, which is so important in our lives, you know. Somebody has said, it might have been Oswald Chambers who said, that it is not that God calls us to have devotions, but He calls us to be devoted to Him, getting to know Him. What is the greatest commandment of all? Love God with all your soul, mind, heart, soul, mind, strength. Strength. There's the word strength again. That's powerful. Powerful truth. So the church is strengthened by friendship with God. Now, you know, we hear this a lot. You know, well, numbers don't matter. But they do matter. They do matter. Because if the church is to be strengthened, we need to have growth of more and more people who are coming into a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? And so as we come together and we share, we have that in common, and we love the Lord, and that's why, you know, our worship together is so significant, right? Because we're worshiping the one that we love. We're worshiping Him. Okay, second truth that we're going to deal with. How am I doing here for time? The church is strengthened by friendship with God. And the church is strengthened by fellowship with one another. Have you ever read the lettuce of Hebrews? The lettuce, L-E-T-U-S, of Hebrews? Listen to it. Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. There's that relationship with God again. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how may we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This, let us, strengthens the church. These things. When you come to church on a Sunday morning, do you take time to pray and ask the Lord as you live in a relationship with him to help you know how you can encourage somebody? Because that is one of the primary reasons we meet, right? To strengthen each other through encouragement. Isn't encouragement strengthening in your life? So many times, you know, when you're having a bad day or you're in a difficult trial or circumstance in your life, and somebody comes along with that appropriate word, you know, from God, and says, bless you. How are you really doing? You know, I'm praying for you. I love you. How can we spur one another on in good deeds? The lettuce of Hebrews. The church is strengthened by fellowship with one another. You know, you've heard it, the illustration before. You know, and there'll be quite a few people here who enjoy a good fire from the wood fireplace, right, or the wood stove some of this cold weather. But in the midst of it all, you've heard how, you know, if you've got a bunch of firewood in a campfire, if you want to put the fire out, you just start removing logs or removing firewood, right? You start taking it away. And so this one piece of firewood is all of a sudden, it was burning brightly. Now all of a sudden it starts to get snuffed out. And whether you believe it or not, that is true when we neglect and we break off fellowship with others in the body of Christ. So, the church is strengthened by fellowship with one another. And thirdly, and this is the last point, the church is strengthened by faithful servants who operate in their spiritual giftedness. Mrs. Fuller strengthened the church because she didn't just sit and ask herself the question, what's in it for me? But she was a servant, a good and faithful servant. And we have many through the years in the churches that I've pastored. I have so many fond memories of good and faithful servants who operated in the spiritual giftedness that God had given them. I can think of an Ann Burke, who in her administrative giftedness served this church so wonderfully for years. She strengthened the church. Would you agree? Sure she did. We can think of Billy Graham. Aren't you glad that over the many years he served the church worldwide, he operated in his spiritual gift of evangelist? He was an evangelist, right? And there are all kinds of people who came to know Jesus Christ because he served the church and strengthened the church through his gift of evangelism. Would you agree? Sure you would. Sure you would. We can think of so many. And I just want to ask you this. It's like, you know, the concern is that you don't, that we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers. What are you doing with the gift or gifts that God has given to you, that were given to you for the building up, for the strengthening of the body of Christ. Is that true? That's right. The Holy Spirit, who is the ultimate one to strengthen the church, does it by giving gifts to God's people, to Christians, to people who have a relationship with Jesus. And he says, look, he says, I'm giving you this gift. But, you know, he doesn't say to us, don't open it. He says, open it up and begin to use it. Bless and strengthen the people that God has called you. I had written this down. The Holy Spirit is a passionate bodybuilder. He gives gifts to individual Christians that they are to exercise for the building up of the body of Christ, indeed for the strengthening of the church. There's just so many illustrations that we could use of people who have served the Lord in the body of Christ. And we're so grateful, and we're so thankful, and we're so indebted. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was referred to as the Prince of Preachers, said, and I quote him, I am indebted to every Christ follower that I ever have met or will meet who draws me closer to the Lord Jesus through the operation of his or her gifts. Isn't that powerful? And so, as we conclude this morning, we need each other. We need, you and I both need to do everything we can to cultivate a passionate, intimate relationship, a friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to call us his friends. He wants us to abide in him. And it's so important that we do. Let's pray. Have the worship team come up to sing the last song. Lord, it is amazing to us to realize that you want to have an intimate love relationship with each one of us. That you don't want to be on the outside looking in. You don't want to be knocking at the door of our hearts and saying, look, would you let me come in and fellowship with you and eat with you? You don't want us to have a lukewarm relationship to you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. To strengthen others through our own strong relationship with you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will challenge every one of us to draw nearer to God in these days. And I pray, dear Lord, that in a very special way, your Holy Spirit will quicken us in the use and the release of the spiritual gift or gifts that he has given to us, that we might do our part in building up, indeed bodybuilding, the church. Help us to that end, we pray, Lord. And Lord, help us not to neglect each other. As we realize that you gave a command just before you went to the cross, and you said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Help us to be good at doing that, at loving each other. We certainly know that we're not perfect people, We know that we have our faults and our failures, but in the midst of it, Lord, we ask that you will help us, that you would revive us in the work that you have called us to because of our relationship with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.